days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Oh my God. That was actually amazing. How is everybody?
I fixed something.
Glory days. Just before, there was a buzz coming off one of the microphones. And I said to Pete, just give that a tap there. You know, sometimes you get kind of connections and whatever. Anyway, he smacked it.
I didn't
like
know.
Like he was hitting a
1970s television.
Like he was, like he was hitting an 18th century street urchin. Yeah. Get out of my way, boy.
Off the ledge, you silly boy. Don't you know we have dignitaries coming? Yeah.
Oh, my God. The smack you hit us.
I didn't realise you meant like mildly.
I meant a gentle tap just to kind of, you know.
I take things literally. When you say give that a smack, I give it a smack. I didn't realise you were supposed to, like, who knew that this radio tapping is a thing? You know that way?
Yeah.
There's this is Jim, 30 years in the business. Here's how hard you hit a microphone to make it work again. I didn't even know that was a technical thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
Kind of, it's more like if you're a radio whisperer, you know what I mean? Like, you just have the knowledge. It's just in you. Know the tapping. Leave this to me.
You just have, and gradually build up your tapping. I go full whack. And then see what happens.
That's a signal, right? That's a perfect kind of metaphor for you and I and our kind of approaches to life.
It is, actually.
I'm tentative. I'm kind of a little bit reluctant.
Slowly, catchy kind of like, monkey, you know, is your way,
Maybe just I'll try a little bit. Ooh, where's your two-footed? Boom! Yes. I'm in.
Give us a... It is our personality sort of summed up very much so, I think. Yeah. You are a very slowly catchy monkey, you know,
because I'm always afraid.
Easing in, trying not to upset things.
To not be noticed.
Trying not to be known, gradually coming up out of the water like a beast over time. You know, whereas I'm like, I don't know what it is. You don't see yourself. That's the thing, do you? Not until someone points it out to you.
Yeah.
I never saw myself as two-footed all in. Until I worked with you.
To be fair to you, you're quite black and white. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not many grey areas in your life. You're kind of like, I either love that or I hate that.
Yeah. Shite. Pure scutter.
And that goes across everything. Give that a tap. Well, I'll give it a feckin' tap, all right.
Yeah.
Boom.
But I don't think I'm doing the wrong thing. That's the thing, you know.
No, you're not. Nobody's saying you're doing it wrong. In fact, you're probably doing it right. At least, you know, because in this world now, actually, you are perfect for this world because the world is now, it's either or, isn't it?
You can't
have nuanced debate anymore. You have to be either, you're either on my side or I hate you.
Well, it comes to, that's true. That's true. In that sort of way, that is very true. You have to be very brash to be heard now. But then in other ways, it doesn't work. It works for you and it doesn't work for me. You know, like, for instance, fashion is a good one, right? I often see Jim say he's a very well-dressed football hooligan. But it's because he takes his time, right? You know, like Jim says, I'm going to do something fashionable. Last night's a great example. We're on the TV. Jim turns up in a very dashing blue shirt. And, you know, and he had...
Hadn't been worn in about, I don't know how many years.
I know, but the thing is, and you look, he looked like he'd, cleaned himself this week and everything. And he looked, you know, very well. And he had his runners on that were sort of, they looked new and clean and they were fashion runners, you know, not, you know. And he did that. And I turned up like someone covered me in glue and rolled me in the fucking skip, right? That's what I do. I did my best. I was late or whatever. I did my best, right? And that's Jim. He slowly gets into fashion. Those are nice runners. I might get them. Do they go well with these? Here, them jeans. They look nice on me. It's subtle. No brands, no logos. Just smart, fashionable stuff.
Trying to go unnoticed.
Yeah. So if he assassinates someone, it's very hard to describe who the killer was, right? Whereas when I decided, right, I'm not actually trying to get into some fashionable stuff, right?
Right.
I went down to Brown Thomas and I came out with a t-shirt with a big fucking leopard on the front. And a horse. There was a big horse on my shorts. Do you remember the horse shorts?
I do. And don't forget, the best of all was not seagulls, geese or something.
The geese.
What are the geese flying across your jumper?
The swans, yeah. I still like that jumper, only I'm too fat for it now. But there was the swans and the geese. Or maybe there were geese.
You look like a representation of like those things that used to be in houses in the 60s, of the ducks going up the wall.
That's it. When Jim dresses fashionably. He looks like, you know, fashionable. To, you know, he's, it's like real rich people. They say never wear the logos. No, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Simon Cowell will spend 600 quid on a plain white T-shirt that fits him perfectly, whatever. He's not a fashion icon, but I'm doing my best, right? Yeah. Whereas people like myself, you know, who try to look like Lady Diana... Or who's what, fashionable?
Why would you want to look like Lady Diana?
Okay, that was another bad example.
Oh my God.
People like myself.
What an amazing. PJ wants to look like Lady Diana.
David Beckham then, wow. Right? David Beckham. And then you say, oh, what would David Beckham wear? And you go, oh, he'd wear the...
A skirt.
Yeah, he'd wear something made by Gucci formaldehyde or whatever they're called. And then yeah, I end up with the word formaldehyde written right across from me. At one sleeve to the next, because yeah, that's something David Beckham would do, but he wouldn't. He'd never do it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's.
And the other thing about
there's
it,
no subtlety in it. That's what he's saying.
The other thing about it, and we all fall into this. Like you see it on somebody, and you go, "Oh my God, that's fantastic! That looks great."
Deadly, yeah.
That looks
yeah.
great, and it doesn't like it could be a somebody, it could be an actual model, it could be a celebrity, or it literally could be a shop mannequin.
Yeah.
And you go, God, that's really nice.
Brilliant, jeez, that's a deadly oak. Yeah.
And you go, I'm going to get that. And of course you get it. And then you put it on you.
And I put
and
it
you
on.
Go, what is that now?
Yeah.
And you would have absolutely... Like, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like somebody just wrote Calvin Klein on a potato. You know, and I'm like, what did... You know, you're like, that was such a terrible idea.
Yeah.
You're a terrible
we
idea.
We all do that. We all do that. Literally. Because did you ever get a situation where you might like a colour? You might think a colour is in fashion. I mean, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm one for I see things that are in sort of grey, like you know maybe certain types of grey or whatever. And think, oh, that looks it's kind of cool. It looks sophisticated. Looks whatever. Yeah. And then I put it on me, and it's just.
And then you're going.
It's like literally putting grey on grey.
And then someone goes, "That's hard. Yeah, where
I can't really see you.
I don't
Jim.
Know where the jumper starts and the skin stops.
I know.
Like, if it wasn't for the hair. I think it was still the jumper, you know.
So I've about a half a dozen grey things that never see the light of day.
Never see the light of day.
Because
yeah.
I put them on and then literally I turn invisible.
Yeah, and then of course, like we were saying, it's actually gas. We were talking about that on the telly as well. Like you get things and they do look good on you, but then you know your body unfortunately takes a turn, you know, and sometimes you hold on for dear life when you shouldn't. You know, you buy a pair of jeans, you're like they're all right. And then you're like, next thing you put them on, you're like, oh, fucking hell, they're getting hard to close down. Yeah. Must have had them in the tumble dryer for too long.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, another month goes past, and then you go, can't close them at all. But you're like, reef the belt on them.
Yeah.
You go on, you bastard. And then yeah. you see yourself in the mirror, someone takes a picture of you, and you can see you've got two waists. You know, you're like, you can see the belt. You know the way some lads years ago, they used to tighten their belts and there was like a belly outside the trousers and there was a belly underneath the
trousers. Remember the underneath belly?
The
yeah.
underneath belly.
Oh,
and then
God,
you start seeing
lads.
Yourself looking a bit like that. You go, right, I've gone mad here.
Yeah.
Now I have to go back. Yeah. I have to go back to
because,
whatever.
Because, and the other thing like with clothes, when your body takes that turn, you have to end up doing things that you never had to do before to check. For example, right? What a shirt to be a classic example.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm putting a shirt on, right, and so I'll stand up in it and I'll put it on. And I think that doesn't look too bad now. That looks all right. And literally, I have to sit down to check because yeah. when you sit down, your belly comes out, and all of a sudden, the shirt that looked all right while you were standing,
yeah.
suddenly looks. Like you're about to take somebody's eye out with one of your buttons.
Yeah, you've got
you sat down.
One button is doing the work like Superman holding the universe together. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pulling two sheets yeah. across like that. Yeah. You can
you
see.
Sit down, you have to sit down and you have to do a little bit of a slouch just to see what when your belly is at full extent, is it going to be potentially a danger to all those
yeah,
people
yeah.
around you?
Imagine that happens, how embarrassed you'd be. You're sitting there, you're on a date or something. And you'll be there going, you pull the chair out for her and all because you're a traditional sort and she sits down and you're like, amazing. And you sit down and the belly, your button hits her on the nose. You'll be there, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I think my microphone's buzzing again. Will I try?
Yeah, go on. Brilliant.
Yeah, it worked.
Look at that.
There you go.
You
look
see,
at
you've mastered the tap, man.
I've mastered
you're becoming
the tap.
A radio whisperer.
And that wasn't even my hand. My trousers just burst open and bounced off the microphone there to stop the buzzing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what that was.
But I mean, your approach to fashion, to be fair to you, your approach to fashion was kind of like, if you're going to go fashion.
I went all in.
Go all. As again,
it was a
going
fad.
Back to your personality.
It was a fad.
It's two footed.
Yeah,
like
that's it.
You didn't go cheap. You didn't go high street. You went, you know, whatever. The what's the brands at the moment? Get me them.
Well, I got Kenzo, right? But the thing was, as well, I got the, and I my way of doing it was, I don't have to get a super fashion. I'll just buy four really good jumpers.
Right.
And then all I'll need is them, and I'll never have to wear anything again. Right, that, you know, this is the way I went. So I got the one with the leopard or whatever it was in the front of it. The other one with the panther down the side of the arm. Right. And then I got, what was the other one? The swans.
Don't forget the seagull. Or the swans.
Swans or the seagulls or the gooses, whatever they were, right? And yeah, whatever you
know. The horse, was it? No, the horse was a shirt.
Yeah. And then I thought, that's it. But then, they're so striking that literally every week someone goes, it must be Tuesday. Look at him, he's walking around with the panther on.
You see, that's, and therein, then, you've just discovered.
And there's nothing worse than having a saggy panther after, you know, after 2 years. When your panther now looks, you know, his ears a bit lopsided. Yeah. It's got a bit, you know, you're starting to get frayed around the edges. You're going, would you not? No one cares when it's a cheap top.
But that's it. You see,
no one cares.
That's my take. So if you wear, right, the kind of nondescript, isn't that the word? If you wear those kind of nondescripting, nobody know. You're like, you know, you're, as you say, you're invisible to be. You're what's that expression? Hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
You're just kind of, nobody notices what you're wearing because it's just so unnoticeable.
And if it gets shabby, it still looks kind of cool. People go, oh, fair. Yeah, that's, you know.
Shabby chic.
Shabby chic.
He pulls that off a lot. But I mean, a lot.
Yeah. But you know, when you're walking around in Gucci and there's holes and all in it. It doesn't have the same effect, you know.
The only thing is, I can't believe I'm asking this. Would you ever try and start a fashion?
So no, say for example, I don't think
remember
I'd be
that
brave.
Mad thing happened with your man Paul Mescal and the shorts?
Yeah.
Now, you're right. And then you had that instant with Robert Sheehan where he wore clown pants.
Aladdin pants and those golden slippers he had on or whatever they were.
So that's what I'm saying. Would you ever embrace the idea of, do you know something? I'm going to do something that's a bit different.
What could I do?
I don't know.
Two different colour Doc Martens or something.
Well, you never know. That could work. That could work.
But see, that's the thing. I'd be like Angus O'Snodgick. I'd be like, I'm going to get into odd socks. And just like people would be there going, is he all right? I think it's the first,
might be time
first
again.
Crack of the new wave type of thing, you know? that's the problem.
What's his name? The Paul Galvin. Paul Galvin, from being a Kerry footballer.
But you have to be a sexy man to do that. You do. You have to be a sexy man to start with.
To start, what did he do? Start not wearing socks?
Well, he just started.
Or rolling his trousers.
Well, he just started wearing proper fashion. Back then, it was a different thing. He was like, you know, wearing the tight jeans and, you know, things that are considered normal now. But he was breaking ground.
Yeah.
And it was GAA. You know, lads were still wearing Garth Brooks jeans and brown shoes. Turning up for event to collect their all-stars, big wide ties and collars down to their nipples, and I'd like to thank the boys down over, you know. And he just decided, no, I'm going, you know. He was tattooed everywhere. He brought all that in.
The best thing is, a lot of his gear is kind of, it's, you know, for a start, it's the right price because you can buy it in Dunnes, or whatever, or pennies or whatever it is. And you know what I mean? And it's plain.
Oh yeah,
it's plain. It's my kind of gear.
But that's the thing.
Cheap and ordinary. So I salute you, Paul Galvin.
He made all that stuff cheap and ordinary for everybody.
Brilliant.
But it wasn't when he started. It was very cutting edge when he started. Yeah. And now it's like, he was like one of the first brigades to sort of go, I'm wearing loafers and no socks. What do you think about that? You know, he was part of it. Now that's very ordinary.
I have to say, for a man who was...
Still looks ridiculous, but it's ordinary, you know.
For a man who's an athlete, he did a great thing for the old fat man.
Did he?
Oh, he did, yeah.
What?
Because you get some of his t-shirts and stuff, they have that sort of like rounded end. It goes a bit lower.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that if you...
That.
You know the way sometimes when you're of a certain dimension, if you raise your arms, your t-shirt stays up on your stomach.
Oh, I hate that, yeah.
So he did this thing where there's this sort of scoopy end so that, you know, there's always enough fabric to take care of business.
Oh, Jesus. I never wear button shorts, really. Like, I wear my lumberjack shirt like I'm wearing now, whatever, when it gets cold under a jumper, right?
Yeah.
That's my idea wearing the short. I put a flanny.
It's a level.
A flanny under a jumper. A layer. That's it. You know, and you know when you go, and I remember I had to, what was it? I can't remember what it happened. It wasn't a date now or anything, but I was meeting a woman in a restaurant. I think it was a
drug deal, was it?
No, it was a TV thing or something.
Right, okay.
But anyway, I walked in. She was working in RTE at the time. And I did that thing where you go to take my jumper off and my shirt and t-shirt came out of my pants. And I'm right up my back and up my belly, like up to the fucking man tits. They were literally up there. And I took off my jumper and, you know, my hands were stuck in the jumper. Do you know that way? And I was like, oh, suffering Jesus. And I had to put one arm under the other arm and pull my arm out and pull out the other hand. All the time, everything up on me, belly sticking out and everything. And then, like, you know the way it unfolded on itself?
Yeah.
So I went to pull the shirt down, but it only came down as far as my rib cage.
And so was you looked up. Like you were wearing a belly top.
So it looked like it was there standing with a tie on and a garter, like, thing. I was so close to saying, could you please pull the back of my shirt down? Thanks very much.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm like, sorry about that, you know. No, nothing, don't worry about it, you know. But
this,
you knew.
This is in a restaurant.
This is in a restaurant, yeah. People sitting around. And I'm stuck with, like, proper everything hanging out. And, you know, and then, you know, you pull your shirt down, right?
Yeah.
And you have this shirt that's ironed and all. It was ironed because it was new. And then all you could see was where it got creasy at the waist and went all long because I had that bit tucked all down around my underpants. You know, that's obvious. Oh, jeez.
So you're just standing there.
And you can't tuck it back in. You can't just, like, open up your cacks and I'm just going to tuck that back in at the table. You know, so and then you go to the toilet later and you come back out and all of a sudden it's all gone. You're like, oh my God, just stay to yourself.
Yeah. And you're just thinking to yourself, God, where's an oversized leopard when you need it?
Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
It's cover a multitude.
Why didn't I just wear me leopard, me panther with the broken ear?
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie. Damo the biker has been on. He wants us to wish his beautiful wife Pearl a happy 12th wedding anniversary. So enjoy your wedding anniversary. And also apparently they'll be 12 years married, but this November they'll be 22 years together.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of years.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
A lot of memories and stuff crammed into that. And memories, you know, obviously people tend to remember the good stuff. Well, actually, now when you talk about relationships, they tend to remember the bad stuff as well. But anyway.
Depends on the day. Depends what you did.
And sometimes, you know, memories can come up and they don't always, you know, doesn't always work in your favour.
Ah, look, I know what you're getting at. And I don't blame you. This story's outrageous, right?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Barry Sonnenfeld, right? Who's he, you think? Well, he's the man who directed the Men in Black movie all those years ago in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, unbeknownst to anyone, he's come out with this story about making it a movie, right?
How many years ago was that?
1997 it was.
Right.
So it's a long, long time ago, right? How many years? I don't do sums. You figure it out. But so he's talking about it and he says, they were asking him about memories from the set. He goes, oh yeah. He goes, we were doing a scene with Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. And he goes, it was in a hermetically sealed pod for one of the alien scenes, whatever. He says, Will Smith farted. And the fart was so bad, he said, that it shut down the set for 3 hours. Now that's,
3 hours?
Yeah. He says,
well, it was contained in a hermetically sealed pod.
He says, well, no, but this, it gets worse. He closed down the whole set, it says.
Ah, here.
That everyone had to be evacuated. He said, roll camera, and he heard Will Smith going, oh, geez, I'm so sorry, Tommy, I'm so sorry. And then someone said, Baz, get a ladder. And then you hear Tommy saying, it's fine, don't worry, Will. And then it's going on, and then he says, you don't want to be near a Will Smith fart, he said. And he said, you don't even want to be sitting next to him at the Disney Ranch. So he said, he basically is saying he stank out the entire ranch. The set had to be closed for 3 hours. I'm sorry, but that's not true.
Yeah.
That's shaming of someone. That's not true. Nobody does that. That it's
Talk
3 hours.
Talk kicking a man when he's down.
And
Will Smith hasn't had a bad enough run of it of late.
So much time gone, he can't prove it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I always feel sorry for the man. About 10 years ago nearly now, there was a story about, and I think about him every day because I feel his shame, that he went, do you remember this story? A flight was going from Dubai to London and the plane took off and the seatbelt signs went off and he went to the toilet and they said it was so bad they had to turn the plane back around.
Wow.
And fly back to Dubai. And I can only, and hours it took. It took like 2 more hours to get back. Can you, I always think, I bet you it wasn't that bad.
This is supposed to be because that's circulated air business.
Yeah. And
that's not.
And the pilot had to come on and say, I'm very sorry we have to do this. Somebody's used the toilet and we are no longer hygienically safe. And that man had to sit there. And all he wanted to do
people
was go and use the bathroom.
Some people knowing it was him.
And you know,
he was the last,
and people were retching in all the paper sets. And I bet you they were. Whoa! Oh my God. And the man sitting there. And he didn't do anything wrong. He did what he thought was right. And they were all. Oh, it's so disgusting. It's the worst smell I ever smelled. They were
Saying that somebody was literally adding arms and legs, just completely over-exaggerating it?
100%. Yeah. That's
I'd agree with you.
100%.
Closing an entire set, a movie set.
Yeah.
For 3 hours.
Turning a plane around and all. And people retching and pretending that. And like our man earlier on that we had in the Nova Noise, I'm not saying he's a liar or anything. I'm not saying it. I wouldn't say it. But he came up, how are you? He goes, oh, the worst chest infection I ever had in my life. I can't believe how bad it was. You know, that's what people do that.
Yeah.
They make things sound so much worse than they are.
Remember
I can't believe my life was going to die and all. There was so much phlegm came out of my chest. A doctor said he'd never seen that like it. He said it's a miracle I still have a head, he said.
Yeah. It's like, I know we've told this story
before. It's not true.
We worked with a guy and he just made something for his lunch.
Exactly. And poor Ray. He put a fish into the microwave here.
And yes, we do realise the weirdness of a story about a man who got complained about because of fish being called Ray.
I know.
But nonetheless, that's what happened.
But
that's a real story.
A fish into the microwave. And honestly, the place stank for 10 minutes, right? Here we are, 5 years later, and people are still going, it was the worst. Oh my God, I was getting sick and all for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I had to go home and cut the hair out of my nose because it was hermetically wrapped in the. Oh, we couldn't even get out of
it. It got into the wallpaper. We don't have wallpaper.
I sat down beside my husband, and my husband says, do you smell a fish off your jumper and everything? And like, it didn't. It wasn't that bad.
We are prone to exaggeration, I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
Especially when it's those kind of dramatic tragedy.
Yeah.
Tragedy. A lad farted on a film set.
A lad farted on a film set. A lad trying to make some fish for dinner. It's like,
wouldn't believe it.
Oh, you dirty, scandalous devil. You don't deserve to be in human society. He's like, I only wanted lunch.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Something that I have literally just found out in the last few minutes. If you're sitting down to a cooked breakfast at the moment, Patron being lucky you, I used to always think that kind of the idea of referring to something as, say, a full Irish was obviously the fact that you just happened to be having your cooked breakfast in Ireland, right?
I know where you're going with this,
because
I agree, actually, yeah.
Across the pond, it would be, you know, I assume on their menus it says full English
full
breakfast.
Full English. And then up north they do Ulster Fry.
Ulster Fry. There you go. And I always thought it was just, you know, basically the same thing with, you know, different names.
But it's not.
But it's not.
It's always got subtle differences. And now people argue consistently and constantly over what those subtle differences are. They do, you know. They still like...
But I bet you not many knew this bit.
No. So what is a full English breakfast? What would absolutely constitute the origins of the full English breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you. Right?
And it's a shocker.
And England, I'm going to tell you too, because I know this obviously over England. But apparently, right, it was, well, back in the day, Christopher Columbus went off and did his travelling around, and he came back and he introduced pineapples to Europe in 1493. And if you are of a particular sort of societal standing, then the full English, if you ask for it, would be a mountain or a mound of bacon served with pineapple. And that was the full English, the original full English. Because breakfast food is a relatively new invention.
Right, like, you know, sausages and stuff.
Yeah, you just ate... We always had sausages, but to eat them at a certain time of day.
Right.
You just ate whatever food was in the house. That's all you ate. But around this time, bacon became a breakfast food with pineapple. And it was like, if you were a sort of well-to-do English person and you'd ask for full English breakfast, you'd get pineapple and bacon.
Wow. And that's all.
That's the original.
So you would, so not even just pineapple alongside your sausage rashers, eggs, beans, mushrooms, whatever you were having.
I love the way a mound of bacon. And he goes, is that all? One mound of bacon. That's all.
I mean, how are you supposed to get through the day on just that?
A pineapple. I get to wear the top of it as a hat and eat a mound of bacon. And that's what I'm supposed to get through. It's lunchtime on one
that's
mound of
shocking.
Bacon.
So
that's probably only 16 rashers.
So across the pond, do they still lob a ring of pineapple onto your... full English?
No, definitely not. No, 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 no. The average Englishman would be disgusted. Absolutely horrified.
Pineapple, at your...
Yeah, pineapple. Yeah, that was the thing. It's gas. It makes
I mean, it's
wonder.
Bad enough that tomato was there.
It's awful.
Which
whoever's
is, of course...
responsible for the tomato on the breakfast is that should go down as one of the biggest villains in history. Yeah.
Technically a fruit, as they say. What is it? It's a what's that famous Brian O'Driscoll quote?
A famous Brian O'Driscoll quote.
Yeah, remember he said it at a press conference. He said it at a press conference about something. Intelligence is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad or something. Look, I probably misquoted him, but it was along those lines.
He truly is the Oscar Wilde of our times.
Wow. Fruits, which are full Irish.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, like, what did Irish people traditionally eat for breakfast before the actual invention of the breakfast food phenomenon?
Yeah.
You know?
There's somebody saying it's not even a breakfast without tomatoes. Good God, Kev. You're a weirdo. Good God, Kev. What are you thinking?
Imagine eating a pizza base for breakfast. You're weird. Thing to do.
A pizza base.
That's all tomato is. It's just pizza base. That's all it is. It's the strangest thing to have.
Is that what you ever have? I mean, you'd never. You're fairly traditional in your tastes, aren't you? I mean, you'd. My God, pineapple must be turning your stomach at the moment.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Honestly, even ketchup. You know the way some people have a fry, Irish breakfast, and they'll put ketchup on the side? That is disgusting to the point of making everyone in the whole place sick. It's toxic.
Ketchup.
It's on your breakfast. What is wrong with you if you do that? Brown sauce is the only acceptable breakfast sauce. Brown sauce and butter. Everything outside of that is, well, it's just fannying around. You think you're Christopher Columbus coming back with a pineapple. You're not. Well, you're a weirdo with burger sauce.
Lee D was on to say there used to be a cafe in Kimmage that served liver with your breakfast.
See, this is it, yeah. This is what people did probably do back in the day as well.
Yeah.
You know, liver,
I mean,
and all that.
Yeah. Again, jeepers. Look, it's meat, so I'm kind of okay.
You're
with
an awful old animal. You know that? I'll have a mound of liver and some apples.
No fruit.
No fruit. Just a mound of liver.
I'd have to draw the line at the fruit.
Isn't that amazing? Of liver and apples, but hold the fruit.
It's actually unusual that with the way kind of the whole, slightly hipster kind of thing was rampant for a while, you know, with the avocado kings and all that.
Yeah.
It's surprising, actually, that fruit didn't start showing up now on breakfast plates. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't mess with people's fries, though, you know. Everyone thinks they know the best fry. The best place and the best way to do it. Some people are bean people. Some people are non-bean people.
Mushrooms,
some people are
yeah.
hash brown people. Some people are not. Yeah, mushrooms, very controversial. Mushrooms are extraordinarily controversial. Why are they on the plate? Because they're delicious, but they don't hold the heat as much as everything else. Very particular problem.
Yeah.
Mushroom scoffers, like myself, will always attack them first, you know?
Yeah. Oh, there's the quote there. Knowledge will tell you a tomato is fruit. But experience will tell you it doesn't belong in a fruit salad. I'm nearly sure Brian O'Driscoll said wisdom, but that's okay. Lots of people just kind of going with their breakfasty things, but nobody's come out and said that they're, obviously fruit on its own or fruit with yogurt or something like that is probably an acceptable breakfast. Just sticking it on a fry
is where you have to draw the line. I don't get to make the rules, but I don't think it is. Granola and fruit. Eating that for breakfast, what are you going to do? What are you? You're human or canary.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie.
Jay, who's a chef in Cork, has been the first to raise his head above the parapet on this one with the old pineapple.
Yeah.
So deep fried pineapple is not too bad.
No. That's what. Listen, here's a rule, right?
He's a chef in Cork.
Who's trying to push leftover pineapples by deep frying them, pretending they're chips. I'll tell you, I don't make the rules, but here's the rule of fruit, right? If there isn't a chocolate or sweet version of it, then it's not worth replicating. And that means the original isn't good enough. So you can get banana chews. That's a real thing, you know?
Right.
You can get strawberry creams, you know, in the milk tray and all that. You can get orange chocolate everywhere.
Right.
There is no pineapple flavoured chocolate. Why? Because it's disgusting. Because it is not proper fruit. It's not.
I have a feeling somebody will find pineapple flavoured fondant of some description.
And it's about as popular as...
Piff has a really good one. She's actually sent us a cracking diagram, which is literally called the Good Friday Agreement.
Oh, that's very good.
And it actually, they're sort of those... what do you call those kind of like a
Venn diagrams?
And they cross over, So the stuff that's in Piff's version is common to all are the sausage rashers, eggs, black and white pudding, and mushrooms. Although, what is that? Just a matter of interest.
What?
What would you say? Oh, that's a tomato.
That's a tomato. That's okay. Supposed to be a tomato, yeah. It's
supposed to be a tomato. Right, apparently the Ulster fry then has those fried bread things.
Those potato farrels, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're potato farrels, yeah, of course. Yeah. Who does the fried bread?
I don't know.
Do we do that or is that the
Is that an
British?
English thing or is that a is that the Nordies as well?
I'm trying to look down the side here. There's even a little key to this.
Maybe it's a cross community thing. Protestants do fried bread and nationalists and Catholics do potato farrels. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a cross community breakfast we're looking at here.
Yeah, Irish includes the beans, mind you, on this one, as does the English one, to be perfectly fair. So actually, the only thing that's Irish that's not on there is the white pudding, I've just noticed.
Yeah, the white pudding and regular toast, yeah.
That's a uniquely Irish one, according to Piff.
White pudding is uniquely Irish. You know, I know a lot of people that look exactly like a white pudding, so it does feel like it's ours and only ours.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With...
Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at...
Oh, I'll tell you something. Some interesting bits and pieces coming in. Because we had that conversation earlier about how traditionally a full English breakfast contains pineapple.
Yeah.
Led us down a strange route. But anyway, so as I say, you were saying there's literally no, that the reason the pineapple doesn't warrant any kind of credibility or praise is because there's no reincarnation of it, no sweet version of it, no cake version of it, etc., etc.
Well, like, I'm just saying, there's certain fruits that are popular on the confectionery front because we know we love them, they are good, and they get better. Banana chews, strawberry creams, orange chocolate. Those are the fruits that break through.
These are things that you just happen to like. But you also like chocolate-covered potpourri, which makes no sense. Chocolate-covered soap.
Turkish delight you're talking about.
Yeah,
absolutely delicious. Anyway. What nobody does is they don't make confectionery out of pineapple because pineapple and a certain other, and pomegranate. You never get a pomegranate chew.
Don't That's try and
disgusting.
Change the subject.
I'm not.
Just because the pineapple supporters groups have come out.
What's the nobody like?
Neil's been on saying you are missing out if you haven't tried this, and he sent us a picture of a gatto pineapple log.
Pineapple log.
And have you never enjoyed the fruits that are the sweets that are pineapple lumps?
Dear, oh God.
Pineapple chunks covered in chocolate. I think we've had them in here. I think Clint might have brought them in here once.
Nobody has ever bought a bag of pineapple lumps as a first preference. Nobody has ever done it. In fact, anyone who's ever bought them has given them to someone else just because they knew it was a disappointment.
Another support one there for the Gatto pineapple log. And there's, look, Pascal's pineapple lumps.
Pascal's pineapple
lumps.
It is.
I have a feeling they are. I think Clint brought them back. He says they're the best sweets on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Comes from a place called Kiwi Corner.
Oh, there you go. Give them to your kids. There you go, kids. Pineapple lumps. What a treat. I can just see them all getting so excited. Yeah.
Somebody's saying tuna and pineapple is absolutely lovely.
What a sicko. What an absolute sicko. That is so disgusting.
Now, somebody else, there was another one. This is again in relation to fruit on a breakfast.
Yeah.
Not really the same thing. But Carol's been on to say that there's a cafe in Strand Hill in Sligo that serve grilled banana on their burgers.
On burgers?
Do you know where he uses a lot of bananas? That Madeira in, you know, Portugal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
a lot of bananas. They have big plantations.
There is a serious banana.
And it's not a good thing.
Not a great thing. I know we come from the root crop capital of the world where you can sit down to dinner and have three different types of potato and carrots on the same plate.
Yes.
So we probably shouldn't knock, but I still think anyone that has four types of banana available at a breakfast buffet is probably not to be trusted.
What about this now? This might sway you from Jean and Bray. Tesco have lovely pineapple and coconut ice pops.
They don't. They have pineapple and coconut ice pops. They don't have lovely ones. Nobody does.
Orla has found pineapple Jaffa cakes.
Again, what Delicious. Sort of weirdo? I mean, they're not going to last. We're going to stick with the orange ones.
Roy of the Rover bars back in the day, they were pineapple.
Were they?
Well, according to Will, they were.
I think Will doesn't know what a pineapple is.
And Antoinette in Cork, who we know very well on this show, also says... Bet you had a Roy the Rovers bar back in the day and loved it.
That's got nothing to do with pineapple.
Because it's pineapple flavoured.
It was fruit salad chew if it was a thing. If it was anything at all, it was a fruit salad chew.
Wow. You're determined to not give in on this point.
Why was I, Jim? I'm right.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie.
Also, by the way, just very quickly, a quick throwback to the pineapple discussion that became very controversial.
I've never seen people so polarised.
The pineapple people came out in force.
It's like American politics.
They've even gotten to the stage now where they're bringing in cocktails and everything.
Wow.
Always drink responsibly. Malibu and Captain Morgan's and everything is being mentioned with pineapple.
Look at this. People really do have a passionate sort of side one way or the other, don't
Somebody
they?
Was even saying that pineapples used to be used as a sign of your wealth by just... You didn't even have to eat it. You just put it in the middle of your dinner table. And it showed you were posh.
Apparently, yes. They said rich people used to rent pineapples many, many years ago.
Yeah.
So they'd look like they could afford to eat them, but they'd just leave them as a centrepiece. And
a comment I did not expect to get.
Yeah.
Navin Man was on.
Navin Man?
Yeah.
And what did Navin Man...
Well, I can't even repeat this, some part of it.
Yeah.
It involves you talking out of somewhere other than your mouth.
You're talking out of another part of your body.
One of the most healthy fruits you can eat.
That's a health doesn't mean nice, you know. I go as far as to say Jim is the only person I know who's not polarised on this. I said, Jim, honestly, what is your feeling on pineapple? And his quote was, I wouldn't go out of my way for it, but I'd try a cake.
No,
that's
what
he said.
Yeah, I wouldn't seek it out, but
I'd try the confectionery.
Let's face it, come on, man. I've been on the fence with everything all my life. You know what I mean? I don't have strong opinions either way.
His opinion was basically, if there's an unhealthy version of it, I'll give it a go.
Yeah. Is it connected in any way with some form of meat?
Definitely not, no.
Well,
yeah.
Then it'll just have to wait. But anyway, the thing about this is, right, that a lot of people, you'll give very strong opinions, say, on certain foods, like the pineapple, as we just found out.
I do.
And you wonder sometimes, because they say that, like, obviously, what you experience as a kid obviously, naturally has a big influence. If you kind of aren't exposed to certain things as a kid, maybe, or you are, can lead to your tastes later on in life.
Well, you might be right there, because I'll still never get over the horror of seeing people eating pineapple rings off gammon steaks. Probably the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life. And now there's a warning out with Halloween coming, by the way, just to link to Jim there reminding us of childhood trauma. Oh my God, I can't get over it. There's a warning. Be very, very careful what you let your kids watch on TV when they're up for Halloween, the scary movie season.
Right.
And they're saying that now they reckon 65% of people under the age of 11 have seen a horror movie. Oh, aghast, so we are to hear it.
Like a proper full-blown...
Yeah, a horror movie, like Candyman or a Ring or The Grudge or one of these, you know. And they're saying it's not really good for them. It unnerves them. It can be terrifying. It can give them trauma for a couple of weeks. And they'll get.
I'm amazed in the world we live in that you know, the way kind of the whole helicopter parenting or whatever it was referred to as, you know. They won't let, you know, everything's a play date now. How are they getting to see a horror movie?
Phones and all. You know, they're looking at it on phones.
Illicitly seeing
illicit horror films and all of that. I don't know. I mean, isn't it a part of being a child that you scare the absolute bejeepers out of yourself by watching a horror film when you probably shouldn't have seen one?
Well, you saw them and you love horror films.
I remember me dad.
So it didn't put you off.
I loved it, but I was terrified for years. Years. I only love horror films now because I was so scared of them for so long. I went to see The Sixth Sense even. I'll never forget it. I was in the cinema.
Right.
And you know the part where the girl comes out and she turns out and she gets sick and then you see the back of her head is gone. Mm. I jumped down and said, I ran over the seats behind me, the popcorn and everything. I took.
How old were you at this stage?
Oh, I was
25.
Was, yeah. About that, yeah. I know you said that as a joke, but you were actually, it was late. It was
wild
enough to know better.
And yet you love horror movies
now. And I love
them
now,
yeah. The scarier, the better.
Yeah, but I do remember watching American Werewolf in London when I was a kid and being like absolutely traumatised. Couldn't even sleep in the bedroom with the wardrobe. I thought someone was going to jump out of it. And then I told me dad, like, I'm afraid of the wardrobe and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking the boogeyman's going to drop out of us. I went to bed then the following night and he jumped out of the feckin' thing. Scared me near half to death.
Very unique form of parenting, that.
Yeah.
It worked out well in the end.
And then he put on a horror movie the following year, I think, or a couple of years later. And he went outside and put a sheet over his head and he started running around the house trying...
Wow.
You know, telling us that he was going to eat us and all this kind of thing. I should have known it was his voice, great, but kids...
He was a great man.
I have to say.
Well,
after 40-odd years, I finally got over it.
There's me thinking that him putting you out in a storm, thinking you could fly and all, was more to it.
There was more to it.
There was even more to it.
Yeah. Brilliant. He jumping out of the wardrobe. Chase me with the turkey's head at Christmas. Maybe that's why I don't like Christmas.
Will you let Miley and Milo and Stevie, will you let them watch horror movies? Or encourage them to?
You see, this is the thing. Probably not. But when they do it, illicitly get it.
Yeah.
And they do say, look, I'm after watching
the thing. You'll be just one of those. Don't tell your mother. You'll be one of them. We'll watch this together now, but don't tell your man.
Don't tell your mother why you're afraid of the dark. And then now me, I'll be the ones going into them. I have to stay with yous tonight. Why? Because yous are afraid.
No, we're fine.
We're not fine.
We're fine.
No, you're terrified.
Trust me, that wardrobe.
Trust me, there's something in the wardrobe. I'll sleep in the wardrobe. I'll sleep on the floor. If you see it moving, just call your ma.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie.
Yesterday, there was a moment of elation, a moment of joy in the office here in Nova Towers, because a package came for PJ, and he opened it to reveal... what would you call it? I suppose it was like a much...
Something I've been seeking for quite a while now.
It has been. We've spoken about it on the show, and it came out of nowhere. It was in a plain package, and he opened it, and it revealed a three-pack of the new orange Turkish delights.
Oh, jeepers, yeah. I have to say, I was overwhelmed. I was delighted.
He was so overwhelmed. Two of them were gone before... Before anybody else knew, they'd arrived.
Well, yeah, Jim goes, I might have one of them. And I was the last bite was en route into my mouth. I would just say, oh, God. And he just caught the last morsel of it.
Yeah, just about. But anyway, now the thing about it is, obviously, PJ was elated, excited. So much so, this is a lesson to all of us. You know, you have to be careful you don't get too carried away. Because then you went and almost put your foot in it, didn't you?
I wanted to send a picture of it. I was so excited, I wanted to send Kelly, my partner, a picture of it. And I accidentally sent the picture of the orange flavoured Turkish delight into a group that I'm in.
Right.
That has nothing to do with that. Oh, my God.
And that would have no interest in orange Turkish delight.
And the worst part was, people obviously saw it and went, the hell is he sending it? And then they thought...
He's gone again.
Yeah. Oh, they were like, here we go. This is the first crack of the second wave. And they obviously thought, well, we better interact with him. This group has nothing to do with anything now.
Yeah.
You know? And they're like, oh, wow. Are they nice? You know, I'm like, oh, jeepers.
Right.
I was like, yeah. And then I was in too deep then. Very nice. Lovely. Yes.
Well, so you had to try and make it look as though you intended to share
this.
Yeah,
yeah. And then someone else is going, must grab one if I see one, somebody else said. I was like, wow. You should.
Yeah. So they didn't want to reply going, What's all this about, sir?
And then someone else says, oh, I'm not mad about orange chocolate myself. I was like, wow, this is really... We're really getting into it now.
But it can happen,
you know. You can, so be careful
You're lucky that it was just a picture of a Turkish delight.
I am.
I mean, God knows the kind of pictures you'd normally be sending Kelly. If that had gone into the group, who'd have known?
Tell you
or
something.
Or what might have happened there.
Picture of myself.
You could have ended up cancelled.
Me looking at myself in a full-length mirror, fully in the news... Trying to take a picture of a boil. So does that look serious to you?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it could have been that.
And there's loads that they've actually asked people about, you know, in the paper. I think it's in the mail today, actually. It is in the mail. They asked a load of people, you know, have you ever done that? One woman sent a picture of herself in a very raunchy outfit. A rubber nun's outfit.
a rubber nun,
yes. Dressed like a rubber nun, Jim. And she sent the picture of her dressed like a rubber nun.
Is that a thing?
A rubber nun in a very short habit.
A rubber nun.
Yeah.
As opposed to a rubber nun's outfit or
yes.
whatever. There's an actual rubber nun.
Well, yes. Well, yeah.
She was dressed as a rubber nun.
As opposed
to a normal nun.
Yes, a rubber nun. Yes, it was a very sexy habit.
Wow. Who'd she send it to?
Sent to her boss. And then, of course, her boss was like extraordinarily outrageous. Inappropriate. And,
yeah. But you've got the promotion.
Yeah. I don't know who you are, but you start on Monday.
Yes, and you'll be in the office next to mine.
Yeah. Now that's the problem. If you text the wrong boss, that is maybe what would happen. And then another woman, she said she wanted to say about her boss as well how terrible his hair dye was. She was going, the absolute state of Tony's hair. Have you seen it? He's dyeing it, and he's no idea. It looks like an old black dog or something. And she sent it to her boss.
Ouch.
The boss then obviously was like, would you like to explain yourself?
Yeah. I'll tell you something. You're being replaced by a rubber nun.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And I love the way you ask people these things, right? And some people never miss an opportunity to brag. No matter what, you know?
Okay.
So one woman, and I love this, she goes, oh, don't tell me about sending the wrong message to people. I once wrote an erotic novel and sent it by accident to a local rewilding charity. I mean, I was mortified. You're like, what were you mortified for? Yeah. Do you think somebody in the charity opened up and went, oh my God, a woman called, what's her name? Susanna Jowett is after sending me a book she wrote. And me having nothing better to do this week, I'm going to read the entire book.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then suddenly go, oh my God, Susanna Jowett.
Unless it got very raunchy or racy on page one, how's anybody going to know?
No one's going to read your bloody... No one's going to read your bloody book. And she just wanted to use the opportunity to say, I wrote a book.
Yeah. That's literally her version of publicity. Yeah. Hoping somebody will turn around and go, gosh, and whatever happened to the book? Oh, I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad you asked.
It's still available.
Yeah, it's still available. There's actually a chapter about a rubber nun.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with...
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at...
InsureMyCars.ie. Oh, you might have seen this on the 6 o'clock show last night. We both went in. And we were sitting there now on all the couch and the whole lot. And it was great. It was typical. It was the usual. You know, I was still wearing the shorts I've been wearing the last few days. Jim would look spiffing in blue. It was all washed and everything. It was.
It says a lot about you if somebody notices when you put a shirt on, doesn't it? It says a lot about your day-to-day kind of general style if somebody kind of goes, look at you wearing a shirt.
I only noticed because I still had me Doc Martens on from the day and I hadn't shaved or anything. I thought Jim will do the same.
I had me runners on.
Jim had torn up in his usual, like about to have a scrap at the terraces. but he was all washed and deadly. And slippy and all. I was there, wow, that's
slippy.
Yeah, washed and slippy. And then we walked into the room, you know, where they had put all the guests in the same room. Darren was there, Darren Conway, and John McGuckin was there. And was Connor Pope at the moment? He did come in later. He was doing his facts and figures.
That was a serious shirt.
It was a serious shirt, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to rock that shirt
now. I walked in and Jim stood up. And I went over and said, oh, went over and I shook Jim's hand and he went, what are you doing? It was going to the coffee machine, he goes, in front of everybody.
That's what he says, the bloke.
In front of everyone, he goes, what do you want? I was going to the coffee machine. And I had my hand in his hand. And then I got panicked and I had to shake everyone's hand in the room.
The bloke to put the microphone on had come in. I was walking over to him and you walked in and like I'd stood up to greet you.
I thought you did.
And so he said, I'm thinking, we see each other hours every day.
Well, that's what I thought. I was there, why does he want to shake hands? But I wouldn't leave you hanging.
It was the bloke standing behind you.
I know there was a man standing behind me. I only came into the room.
By the way...
And he shook me and he goes, what do you want? I was going to get a coffee. I was going towards the coffee machine or something.
By the way, can I just point out as well, and I had this discussion, funnily enough, just before you arrived with Darren and Joe, right?
Yeah.
From the Starlet podcast, that you have this thing, right? And anybody who's listened to this show over the years will know that I'm telling the truth here, right? You have this thing about being late, don't you?
I can't stand people being late.
Exactly, right? And you have all these famous phrases that, look... If you're meeting somebody at 8 o'clock, no, showing up at 8 o'clock is not acceptable.
Time is the only currency you can never re-earn. Okay, once time is spent, it has been spent, it can't come back. You get back money, you can get back clothes, you get back items, you can get back all these. Yeah. You can't get back the currency of time. Don't waste my time.
Absolutely, and yeah. you hate people. Like if you're meant to be there at 8, you should be there at 5 to 8.
Being on there time at 8, is late.
There you go. Right now, and everybody's listening to this. Literally, PJ has never been on time for anything that we've ever done.
I don't think that's true. I've had a bad run.
The amount of times.
I've had a bad
that's
run.
Like, yeah,
since
no,
the babies were born, I've had a bad run. This last year, I've had a bad run.
That is, it's so hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
I've had a bad run. And then when you turn up and you go, thank God I've made it just a bit. I didn't make it, actually. It was half an hour later.
Wow.
And then your friend stands up and shakes her hand and goes, what do you want? So thanks for coming at all.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
That story that you were just told about last night on the 6 o'clock show, PJ walked in to the green room
late.
And I was standing up to go to the guy who was about to put the microphones on, and PJ assumed I was standing up to greet him.
I did.
And shook my hand.
And I thought it was an unusual thing to do, but I wouldn't leave him hanging. Whereas he just was straight up and goes, what are you doing shaking me hand to see every day, you weirdo? Yeah.
But Tony has just pointed out, rightly, that you have form for this.
I did, well...
Because it's like the time you thought that the barman, who all he was doing was his job, trying to collect the glasses...
In the cobblestone. That was very embarrassing.
And you thought, he knows I'm a celebrity. I better shake his hand.
I didn't think that. I didn't think
that.
That's
what you thought.
I was sitting there at the table, and I just finished my pint, and he walked over with his hand, look out, and I stood up to take his hand, and he just looked at me and picked up the glass. And I was, I'm sorry, I thought you were coming over to say hello. And he looked at me... And in fairness to him,
see what's coming out here. That's what's coming out here.
And in fairness,
you walk into a room and think, look, I'm obviously going to be the most important person in this
room.
Oh,
I'll never forget it.
I'll just, I suppose I better shake people's hands. I want them to think I'm man of the people.
You absolute moron. He goes, he sees some of the most famous traditional music people every day. He wants to shake your hand. And in fairness to him, he just held up the glass and went, yeah, congratulations on finishing your pint. That's what he said.
What an amazing line.
Yeah, that was a good line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A good line.
I wish I'd have thought of something like that last night. Congratulations on showing up. Yeah,
congratulations on being only half an hour late, you tosser.
By the way, something else has just cropped up, and I just want to see if anybody else can solve this, because PJ was trying to tell me, but there's a story today, right, that we may or may not get to during the course of the show, but it inspired some memory of a phrase that exists. Involving what you would choose have to face in terms of a...
In a fight.
In a weird fight.
In a weird fight.
Now, so far, he's mentioned horses, ducks, spiders.
I can't remember the saying.
We're trying to find out what the phrase is. You think it's something like...
I think it's something like, would you rather fight a duck-sized horse? No. Yeah, a duck? No. A duck the size of a horse or 100 horses the size of a duck?
Right,
I
you think
that's
it.
The phrase.
Yeah.
Not gachi, but I think that's the phrase. Yeah.
Okay, so does anybody know, if that makes sense to anybody, because the other version was there were spiders involved, raccoons made an appearance. And so if anybody can, if there is an official position on what that phrase is supposed to be, I'd appreciate it. 087-1818-100.
It's a camel the size of a bear.
No, for the love of God.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.
With insuremycars.ie, get low prices and save on your car insurance today at insuremycars.ie.